Thanks for listening to the ministry of Pastor Brad Smith, lead pastor of Woodward First Assembly of God, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. So let's go live right now into the sanctuary where Pastor Brad Smith is about to deliver a fresh word from heaven.
And we're going to finish this thing up tonight. I could go on, but I feel like this is a good stopping point. Maybe we'll pick it up some other time down the road. But over the last, 6 or 7 weeks now, we've been studying very intensively on the subject of faith, which is an inexhaustible subject. It runs from cover to cover in the Bible. It is from page to page through the different feats, the miracles, the provisions, the supernatural things. We've looked at how faith works, how we have to speak the word, believe the word. We've talked about confession. We've talked about all of those things. But tonight, I want to talk to you about the posture of faith, and that is determination. Everybody say determination. And, as we've looked and as we've talked over the last few weeks, we've understood that the Bible says we fight the good fight of faith, right? Where we mistake it sometimes is we don't realize that we're not in a people fight. If you start fighting people, you're fighting the wrong fight. You said, yeah, but because we say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of wickedness in high places. So it's a spiritual battle. You say, yeah, but we're not in a people fight, but those spirits use people. Yes, I understand, but hear me. We're not in a people fight. We are in a spiritual fight. And determination is a position. It is a tenacity. I covered this a little bit. We're going to go in a little bit of a different direction tonight and talk about how if we're steadfast, stand still, hold fast to the promise of God, we'll see the victory come. But I want you to look tonight at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse number 23. Proverbs 4. Verse 23. This is important. Proverbs 4 and 23. It reads like this. He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but remove your foot from evil. Proverbs chapter 4, when I look at it, when I begin to kind of see the heart of that passage, what I see is a command from the Lord to stay steadfast. First of all, he tells us to keep our hearts with all diligence. I want you to know that in the scripture, oftentimes when it talks about the heart, it's not talking about the organ that's beating and pumping blood in your chest. When the scripture oftentimes talks about the heart, he's talking about the innermost parts of a man, the soul or the spirit. Sometimes we use those terms interchangeably, even though they are different. But he's talking about guard your heart, that part of you that is subject to offense. It's subject to allow things to get in. He says guard it. Why? Because out of it spring the issues of life. You know, if you allow your heart to become bitter, it'll come out of your mouth. If you allow anger to get in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. So somehow God supernaturally connected our hearts to our tongue. That's why the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, help me somebody, the mouth speaks. If you ever want to know what's going on in a person's spirit, listen to them long enough. If they talk anger, rage, bitterness, lack, sickness, all of those things, whatever they continue to talk upon are usually the things that are in their heart. And so the scripture gives us an admonition to hold fast and guard our heart. Then he tells us to put away a deceitful mouth, watching what we say, put perverse things. He says, let your eyes look ahead and don't let your feet, let your ways be established and do not turn to the right or to the left. That means to stand still. Everybody say stand still. So determination can be defined as this. Determination is the inner fortitude and strength of character. Being disciplined to remain consistent, strong, and diligent, watch this, regardless of the odds or the demands. It is the act, I love this, it's the act of deciding definitely and firmly or coming to a resolve. Determination is acting in faith when we temporarily lose sight of where we're going. Determination is when you set your eyes on the Word of God and the things of God and you refuse to falter. Do you know the Scripture tells us, Jesus tells us a story. Many of us learned this in Sunday school. But, you know, as I minister and teach, a lot of times I'll say, well, you know the Bible says, but as Miss Tina has reminded us tonight, a lot of people who come to church don't really know the Bible. And which is, I'll just give you a little appetizer for a Sunday morning's message. I'm going to be talking about the importance of preaching. Why coming to church, fellowship is great, but hearing the preached word of God is also important. So just a little bit for you for Sunday. But look, and Jesus gives us an example, right? About the house made of the house that was built upon the rock and the house that was built upon the sand. The Scripture says that both of those houses look the same. The Bible says that the house that was built upon the sand, it says the wind came, the rain came, the storms came, and it beat upon that house, and great was the fall of that house. But the rain also came and beat upon the house on the rock. It also came and beat upon that house. The winds blew, but it did not fall. And the reason why is because its foundation was sure. Its foundation was sure. That scripture that Jesus gives us in the Gospel of Matthew tells us a couple things. Number one, it tells us that storms and trials come to everybody. The Scripture says the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. But how we decide to react in the middle of battle is what matters. And so we need to guard our heart, guard our mouth, set our eyes, and let our feet be firmly planted in the different parts that we want to go. So tonight, if you're taking notes, write this down. I'm going to give you a couple points as we develop our message tonight about determination. Number one, you can write this down. Determination is an important part of our spiritual warfare. Determination is an important part of our spiritual warfare. We're going to look at this for a little while, but I want you to call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. You can just write that down. But Paul writes to Corinth, and here's what he says. He says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong." Everybody say, watch, stand, be brave, and be strong. That sounds like determination to me. Now look at Ephesians 6 and 13. Paul writes and he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." I don't have time to preach on that, but notice he said, take up the whole armor. If you don't put on all of it, you're missing something. We'll talk about that some other time. But he says, take up the whole armor of God. Why? That you might be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. I'm a repeater. I want you to repeat these words with me. Say withstand, and then say stand. So in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, we have stand fast, be brave, be strong. And then in Ephesians 6, 13, we have withstand, and after you've done all to do, to stand. Notice this. When you're fighting the fight of faith, and you've done all you know how to do, you've prayed, you've believed, you've fasted, you've given, you've done everything you know to do, and nothing seems to be happening, the next thing you need to do is stand still. Stand still. Why? Because it's easy for us to be moved by what we see, right? We're so affected by our eyes and our ears and our senses, but we're not called as people of God to be tossed to and fro, if you will, by our emotions or by our sensory realm. We're called to walk by faith, and so we stand still. Let me give you some examples tonight as we're looking. Look at what God did through the Israelites. Look at Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to quote these. You feel free to write them. We're going to be doing a lot. You're going to feel like you've been to Bible college tonight. by how many scriptures that I'm going to quote, but you can feel free to write those down and be good homework for you to look up later. But God, notice this, God had commanded all of the tribes of Israel. He gave them the command to go forth into the promised land, and he told them to drive out the inhabitants. Did you hear what I said? He told them to go to the promised land, but he told them to drive out the inhabitants. You know what that tells me? You will not possess the promises of God without a fight. Did you hear what I said? A lot of times we think, oh, hallelujah, we've got a promise. No, you're going to have to fight for it. The only difference is we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. We're already victorious. So look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Of course, you know this passage, or you probably have heard it before. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong. Everybody say, be strong. And of good courage, do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, how many of you know that's a pretty good thing to stand on? Now, it's significant for them, but it's even more significant for us because the presence of God in the Old Testament is a little bit different than it was in the New Testament, or it is in our days. Because in the Old Testament, they carried around the Ark of the Covenant and different things like that. And at times, the presence of God would come down and rest in the camp. But hallelujah, if you're an Acts believer, you got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. So you know what? It really applies in our lives, no matter what we're facing. God is saying this to us today. Be strong, have courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for I am with you wherever you go. Do you know he's with you when you go to Walmart? Do you know he's with you when you go to Hutch's? He's with you when you go to United Grocery and even to Walmart. Hallelujah. So listen, if God is with you, then how in the world can we be afraid? The scripture says, if God be for us, then who could ever be against us? So look, with this promise, the children of Israel, they were to go forth conquering all of the inhabitants of the promised land. But what we find in scripture is that that did not always happen because the determination of their enemies was more strong than theirs. Look at Joshua 17. Let's skip over a few chapters and look. Joshua 17, 12 through 13. It says, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities. But the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened that when the children of Israel grew strong, that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not utterly drive them out. Can I tell you what happened? They shared the land with their enemy because their determination was not as strong as their enemies. Can I tell you something tonight? A part-time Christian will never defeat a full-time devil. We want to take off our time and all of this stuff. The devil, he is like a roaring lion. He's out there doing his thing. He's not on vacation. He's not taking a nap, and we can't afford to be either. We can't sleep on the job. We can't afford to not be out there engaged in the battle. Even in the times of our vacations and luxuries and days off, it's okay to rest from our physical labor, but it's never okay to rest from our spiritual labor. We've got to be engaged in the battle. So they meet these people in the land, and they didn't want to leave, so they didn't. So here's the thing. They weren't able to drive out the Canaanites completely because they lacked determination. They lacked determination. Now let me show you something else about determination. How many of us give place to the devil because we lack the determination to completely drive him out of our lives? Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Give you a chance to turn over there and look at that for yourselves. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is, how many of you have a red letter Bible or a red letter phone? I understand. Well, if it's red letter, who's talking? Now, I like the words of Paul. I do. I like Paul's penmanship. Moses isn't bad either. But when Jesus talks, I like to pay attention. And I want you to notice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Let me read it again. He says, "Behold, I give you the authority," or some translations say power, "to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now hold up. I want to look at a couple things in that passage. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power or authority." That means he has delegated to you what you need to get the job done. Okay? Now notice he says to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now there's some figurative language there, because in the scripture, scorpions and serpents and that such are always symbolized or figure of speech, if you will, for evil or the demonic or evil spirits. And so notice he says, "I've given you authority over everything, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." Now what does the word nothing mean? It means nothing. So can I tell you something? This is going to sound terribly hard, but it's true. I don't know if you can say the word behind in church, but I'm going to say it. If the devil is kicking your behind, it's your fault. Because God has given us the authority. Here's the thing. The only ground the enemy can get in our lives is the ground that we forfeit him. Amen? Listen, I heard a story a while back about somebody in a Christian home, and everything was going great in the house and everything, and their child started having nightmares, terrible night tremors, waking up in the middle of the night screaming, wanting to get in the parents' bed and all that stuff. And nobody could find out what in the world is going on. This is a church kid, no trauma in the family, whatever. They found out the kid had been going to a neighbor's house watching scary movies. And somehow entertaining that evil opened up an opportunity for that spirit to come in and torment that kid. Guess what? You close the door, there's no more access. And a lot of times people are overcome. I don't know why I feel in a vein to talk about this, but I am. Sometimes people are overcome by lust, and oftentimes there's a door of pornography. People are overcome by financial stuff, and there's things in their life. And as Christians, we have to understand we have the victory. We're winners. We're overcomers. But if you give the devil an inch, he will become your ruler. He says, "Behold, I give you authority." I believe it was Lester Sumrall who was on a trip to India or somewhere like that, overseas on a missions trip. And he had been at a big crusade, and he had been casting out devils and lots of witchcraft and religious things going on there. And in the middle of the night, a presence came in his room and shook his bed and shook the dresser. You may not have to believe this, but I'm preaching tonight, so that's okay. I got the microphone. This came from Lester Sumrall. He has a lot of integrity. He's passed away now. But anyway, he said on this trip, this demonic force came in this room and tried to intimidate him. Said it shook his bed and shook the dresser and slammed the door open and all that stuff. And he said he sat up in the bed and he said, "Oh, that's you, huh?" And he commanded the spirits to leave. And they left the room, and he went to lay back down. And it says that he told the story that he sat back up, and he said, "Hey, you open that door, now you close it." He said the door went, just close right back. You don't have to believe that. But the truth of the matter is that we have authority. Look at 1 John 4 and 4. 1 John 4 and 4. It says, "You," how many know that's talking about us? He said, "You are of God, little children." You could translate that a lot of ways. You are of God. You are God's. You are part of God's. You are sons of God. You are daughters of God. You are of God. You're born again, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Oh, hallelujah. See, if you're determined, you can, and you determine not to give up, You can win that war on the adversary. Look at, I told you, lots of scriptures tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." See, many Christians fall in many areas because they fail to make a determined effort. You've got to make a determined effort in your marriage. You have to make a determined effort in your finances. You have to make a determined effort in raising your children. You have to make a determined effort in everything that you do. So let's look. Why is it so important for us to be on the offense? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9 reads like this. He says, "Be sober." The opposite of that is don't be drunk. Don't be intoxicated. Don't be mind altered. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. So notice, he says, be alert, pay attention, because your adversary, you have an adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he, what? May devour. That means everybody's not devourable. He's just looking for those who are devourable. And so he says, resist him. He says, resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Once again, we're talking about determination. Resist means to exert, right? You do resistance training in the gym. The only way you get strong is if you push. He says resist. Then he says steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. So in other words, Peter's saying, when you're going through stuff, don't believe this lie that, oh, Lord, it's only me. I'm the only one that has any trouble. He said, no, trouble's... Job said, a man that's born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. And as long as you're living for the Lord, you're going to have adversity. You're going to have trials and hardships. But hallelujah, Jesus has already overcome them. And so we're going to look at that some more. All right. Now, here's the next thing I want you to look at tonight. Here's your number two. Number one was that determination. We talked about that. The determination is a part of our spiritual warfare. Now let's look at something else. Number two, the kingdom is built through determination. The kingdom is built through determination. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1. It reads like this. Then Solomon determined, everybody say determined, then Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal house for himself. See, I'm sure Solomon had obstacles that he faced. I'm sure that, but because he was determined to complete the task he was given, but he had the fortitude and the strength of character to remain constant, consistent, strong, and diligent regardless of the odds that were against him. So Solomon had in his heart to do something for God. And he was determined to do it no matter what. Here's what I want you to know. That just as Solomon had a determination to do something for God, we have to have a determination to do something for God. And I want to ask you tonight, what drives you? What drives your passion for God? When you think about things of the Spirit, and you think about the church, and you think about souls, what drives you? See, all of us have an appetite. And something drives all of us. So let's look, because we too must have determination to see the kingdom extended. I've always loved this passage of scripture right here. In Matthew 11, verse 12, it reads like this. It says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." The violent take it by force. Listen, do you think the devil is going to give up all of these souls for the kingdom just easily? He's got the hooks of drug addiction in people. methamphetamines, crack cocaine, marijuana. If you haven't noticed, driving up and down just since I've been here, all the little marijuana shops are popping up because they're getting ready to come and try to take over our communities. How many of you know we have to have a determined effort? We've got to stand up in prayer. We've got to stand up. But here's the thing. We can't just pray. Prayer is important. How many know prayer is important? You shouldn't do anything without praying about it, getting direction from God. But here's the thing. Sometimes, and this is another one of those statements that's going to, stings me a little bit sometimes, but sometimes we're not waiting on God. Sometimes God is waiting on us. And how much stuff have we forfeited for the kingdom of God? Not because we've prayed about it, but because we've been praying about it for 20 years. You don't have to pray about it for 20 years to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't have to pray about it for 20 years to help volunteer somewhere where there's a gap. Amen? You listen, there comes a point in our life we need to pray, we need to get direction, but then faith ought to cause us to put feet to our prayers. And if you think that all of these drug addicted, messed up people are just going to come to Jesus because we want them to, it's not going to happen. It won't happen without outreach. It won't happen without walking in the anointing of God and the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our lives. We've got to do it, and we've got to be persistent about it. Here's the thing. When things in our life come, we have to make a determined effort not to be discouraged. I'm about to read to you one of my favorite passages from Paul in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. You ought to write this down. You ought to circle it. You ought to highlight it. You ought to put it on a sticky note. This is so cool right here. In Acts 20, verse 24, here's what Paul said. Paul said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." I want you to pay attention to the first phrase in Acts 20, 24. Paul said, "But none of these things move me." How many times do things happen to us and one little thing happens in our life, we're ready to quit? Quit the church, quit the job, quit the marriage, quit whatever. Here's the thing. Paul has a resume like none of us. Shipped, stoned, shipwrecked, beaten, snake bit, all kinds of stuff. I mean, people are trying to talk about him. They're not trusting of him because of his conversion. All of these kind of things. If anybody had the opportunity to give up, it was the Apostle Paul. To say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want to do anything with the church. I don't want to do anything about it. But praise God he didn't quit. Because he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament that you hold in your hand. Hallelujah. None of these things move me. You know, we've got to get to the point in our lives where the things and the circumstances of our lives become minuscule and minute. That when we have our eyes set upon something, a promise of God, a vision, a circumstance, that no matter what comes our way to try to deter us, we're like Paul and say, you know what? None of these things move me. It reminds me when Paul was in the boat. You know that when Paul was in the boat and the boat was set to sail, Paul actually warned them not to travel. Because Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, knew that storms were coming and everything, but Paul obeyed and whatever. And the scripture says in Acts that when the south wind blew softly, that a great wind began to blow and a storm came and it busted up the ship. And Paul went down to him. He says, "Do not be afraid. It'll be even as he told me." Paul had a word from God in the middle of the storm. And do you know what causes us to be steadfast and causes us to, like Paul, say, none of these things move me? Is to have a word from God in the middle of a storm. Let me give you an illustration tonight. How many of you have ever heard of the famous John Wesley? You ever heard of the Methodist Church? Okay, yeah, it's kind of a big deal. Him and his brother helped found the Methodist Church of the Holiness Movement, which out of that came us. We actually, a lot of our people who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit came out of the Methodist Movement. which started the Assemblies of God. So I want to read to you a portion of John Wesley's diary, if we will. Okay, so I want you to just pay attention and listen. All right, here's an entry. Sunday morning, May the 5th, I preached at St. Anne's Cathedral, and I was asked not to come back anymore. How many know that hurts your feelings? Sunday p.m., May the 5th, I preached at St. John's. The deacon said, get out and stay out. That's pretty strong. Sunday a.m., next week, May the 12th, I preached at St. Jude's. I can't go back there either. This is legitimate from his journal. Sunday p.m., May the 12th, preached at St. George's. Kicked out again. Sunday a.m., May the 19th, preached at St. somebody else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't come back. Sunday p.m., May the 19th, I preached on the street and they kicked me off the street. Sunday a.m., May the 26th, I preached in the meadow. I was chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose on me during the service. How many of y'all would have quit? Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, I preached out at the edge of town and I was kicked off the highway. But watch this. He says here, Sunday p.m., June the 2nd, afternoon service, I went out and set up in the pasture and 10,000 people came out to hear me preach the gospel. Think about that. Think about that. Kicked out of St. Anne's. The deacons told him not to come back at St. John's. Kicked off the street corner. Kicked off. Imagine had he quit. Put his little Bible up and went home. Because somebody hurt his feelings. But you know what? He had a word from God. He had determination. And if you have a word from God, and if you have determination, that is a recipe for success. Because God honors faith, and he honors our steadfastness. And here's the thing. What would the world look like today without John Wesley's impact? Not only Asbury Seminary and the Great Methodist Movement, but many of the songs of old that we've sung were penned by John Wesley. Somebody who refused to quit. Look at this. This is by Harold Sherman. Harold Sherman wrote a book entitled How to Turn Failure into Success. So in this book, he gives a code of determination. And in it he says, I will never give up so long as I know that I'm right. Second thing he says is, I will believe all things will work out for me if I hang on to the end. Number three, I'll be courageous and undismayed in the face of all odds. Number four, he said, I will not permit anyone to intimidate me or deter me from my goals. Number five, he says, I will fight to overcome all physical handicaps and setbacks. Number six, he says, I will try again and again and yet again to accomplish what I desire. Number seven, I will take new faith and resolution from the knowledge that all successful men and women have had to fight to overcome adversity. Number nine, he says, I will never surrender to discouragement, to despair, no matter what seeming obstacles may confront me. Let me ask you a question tonight. What would our lives look like if we had that kind of determination? Because do you know, one of the devil's greatest tools that he sends in our lives is discouragement. Discouragement. Touched on this a little bit last week. But the enemy comes and he says things like this. He says, well, you're insignificant. Or, well, you're not really making any impact. Or, well, you know, nobody really likes you. Or the enemy will say, well, you know, there are other people who are more educated than you. Or, well, there are people who've been around here longer than you. Or, well, you're too old. Or, well, you're too young. Or, well, all of these different things. And the enemy, one of his number one tools is discouragement. Because courage or determination or steadfastness is really what it takes to overcome. Anybody who's ever done anything great in the natural or for God has failed multiple times. I want you to think about it. This is purely in a natural sense. But for the most of Michael Jordan's life, he was horrible at basketball. Until he practiced. Many of us, I'm convinced, when it comes to the things of God and the things of the Spirit, we simply quit too soon. We quit too soon. Let me share a couple things, words of encouragement to you tonight. If God has called you to it, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If you have a word from God, and God has put a burden in your heart, I don't care what it is, to start a business. Do you know, I believe God calls people to start businesses just like he calls people to start ministries. I believe, listen, it's not the same call as a call to preach, but there is a call. God has designed everybody to do something because it takes all of us to get it done. I believe God calls some people to be educators so that they can educate and influence. I believe God does call some people to be nurses and doctors who have gifts of healings and gifts of compassion. I believe those things. But here's the thing. If God has given you a heart to do something or a word to do something, then listen, there's not a devil in hell qualified to stop you. The only person, listen to me, you can write this down. It is a true, profound statement. The only person that can hinder you from doing the will of God is you. The only person that can hinder you from doing the will of God for your life is you. You can forfeit it. You can mess it up by falling into sin. Listen, but it is not God. God has given you the green light. He's given you the call. He's given you the equipment. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you promises. But we have to have a determination not to sit down in the time of battle. Here's what I also want to tell you tonight. I want to tell you this, that all great things come with a fight. Come with the fight. You know, there are a lot of wars that this nation has fought that I'm going to be honest with you, as an American, I didn't necessarily agree with. But there are some wars that we fought in that were on the front lines of our freedom. For instance, one of the civil wars that we fought in that freed the slaves, that was something worth fighting about. Different things that happened. But, you know, all of those things, they don't happen without a fight. They don't happen without a fight. Let me give you one more little illustration tonight before we leave. How many of you ever heard of D.L. Moody, the great preacher? Let me read this to you. It says, in 1873, Dwight L. Moody and Ira Sankey sailed to England for a series of evangelistic meetings. But once there, they found to their dismay that all three of the prime contacts who invited them died. So meetings had to be hastily arranged. Some of the pastors who had endorsed Moody's ministry turned against him. At Sunderland, a group of pastors covered the public buildings with material warning about the Americans and their questionable procedures and probable evil results. Rumors about Moody traveled ahead of him. He and Sankey went to Scotland only to encounter deep skepticism. But Moody persevered, and revival swept the British Isles. So I'll give you the backstory of that. Moody had an invite to go overseas, and the people that invited him died. How convenient. You know, people never die at a convenient time. They died. He got there, and so they had to kind of get some meetings together. And the pastors there, they didn't like him. The Americans had, quote-unquote, unquestionable ways. Matter of fact, it was D.L. Moody who somebody told him, they said, "I don't like the way you evangelize." Because in his day, it was a pretty modern way he evangelized. They said, "D.L. Moody, we don't like the way you evangelize." And I love what D.L. Moody said. He said, "I like the way I evangelize better than the way that you don't." In other words, people that criticize usually do the less. But he gets there. The buildings were plastered with posters of D.L. Moody's a heretic and you shouldn't come and listen to him. And, you know, that'd be enough to make any one of us little bit discouraged. But praise God, he just got up and he went somewhere else. And when he did, revival swept that region, and we're still reading about it today. And D.L. Moody has had a great impact on the kingdom of God, but it only came when he didn't quit. I want you to know something tonight. As you stand with me, that means we're done. If God's given you something, a promise, if you're believing God to see a child saved, a grandkid come back to the Lord, if you're believing for a business idea or something that God's put in your heart, if you're standing on the Word of God for healing in your body, which is, by the way, the will of God, and you're not seeing change, you've got two choices. You can be discouraged and quit, or you can be steadfast and determined. And the Scripture promises us that if we hold fast, God will be our deliverance. And so tonight I want you to pray with me as we get ready to leave this place. And I pray that this word will be applied to your hearts. I pray that it's challenged you, and that when you leave this place, when you go back to your prayer closet and you're praying about certain things, that you'll have a greater boldness to see God do some things in your life.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. To give to this ministry, visit woodwardfirstag.org and simply click the Give tab. We sincerely believe that today's message has been divinely inspired of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, you will soon reap a bountiful harvest. God bless, and thank you once again for listening to today's podcast.